Today I find it quite uplifting to hear how others in the congregation spent their feast and what they learned from that experience. Now, we wait all year in eager anticipation for the feast to come, and then it goes by so quickly. Well, the feast of 2002 is behind us. Now, what should we do, the people of God? I believe at the feast, we're given two clues on what we should be doing for the year. The two go hand in hand. The first clue is that we're given a booklet called This is the United Church of God. The second clue, I believe, was given in the feast video of a message originally given to the ministers in the church to prepare God's people for works of service. And actually, this message is for all of us. Today, I'd like to take the remaining time of this sermonette to go over the mission that is set before us. That is, preaching the gospel, preparing a people as we become Christ-centered servant leaders who have the protection of the armor of God. And for those who like titles, I have titled this sermonette, The Mission That Is Set Before Us. So what is the purpose of keeping the feast which we just observed? Well, it's a rehearsal. We rehearse those days like a play where we learn of many things. In God's holy day, we hear, see, write, and we participate in each phase of God's plan for humanity. We practice to learn of the plan of God through rehearsal. Then one day, we will become the teachers. This is just a part of the plan of God that leads us to salvation. We see that God makes a plan with purpose. In Isaiah 14, verse 24, God states, "Surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, shall it stand." Now let's turn to 1 Peter 1, and we'll read an aspect of God's plan for mankind. Now, 1 Peter 1, verse 18, "Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, receiving the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He," speaking of Christ, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world." From this we see that God's plan with purpose, that a Passover would be needed long before man was created. We have just returned from the feast energized by the vision we were given about God's wonderful promise of the world peace that all humanity will enjoy after Jesus Christ comes to earth a second time and establish the kingdom of God upon this earth. That's good news for all of us. But this information must be shared with others. At the feast, we were given the booklet, This is the United Church of God, with the words, preaching the gospel, preparing a people. Now, if you had not an opportunity to read this booklet, I encourage you to do so this week, because I found it very uplifting. I'm sure you will, too. Now, the first statement on the first page of this booklet actually tells us the mission that we're about to do. I'll quote it here. "The mission of the United Church of God is to proclaim to the world the little understood gospel taught by Jesus Christ, the good news of the coming kingdom of God and to prepare a people for that kingdom. This message not only offers hope for all humanity, but encompasses the purpose of human existence. Why are we here? And where our world is headed? Now, this is the same mission that Christ gave his own disciples to do. And it's very clear from scriptures that we must take this mission seriously from Christ's command to do so. In that well-known saying in Matthew 28:19, which states, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all things I have commanded to you." Now, there can be no greater mission in our life than having a part in fulfilling this objective. Later on, I will go over some aspects on how we individually and collectively as a congregation can aid in these efforts. Now, as we go about our mission to preach the gospel and prepare our people, we must be in a certain attitude. Now, that attitude can be seen in the next holy day of God, which is the Passover. Now, the Passover is 26 weeks and 2 days from today. Now, what do we all do on that day? Well, one of the things that we do is we wash each other's feet. Now, let's turn to John 13, and we'll see the example that Jesus has set before us today. And if you go down to John 13, we'll begin in verse 14. "If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor he is sent greater than he who sent him." Now, I believe there's a few of us that may look upon the foot washing as a ritual. But we need to understand what is really taking place here. We see that Jesus Christ is showing us an example as a servant. The attitude that we must be servants sets the whole tone for all the feasts in our daily contact with others. The scriptures point out that those who are true servants of Jesus Christ will be great in the kingdom of God. But greatness does not come from exercising power or authority over others, but rather comes from humility, from service to others. All of us need to be faithful in our commitment to service. In the feast video, we saw that knowledge without action is not being a Christian. We must develop the attitude and action of being Christ-like. This is what Christ-centered servant leadership is all about. Now, I know some people get hung up on the terminology of being a servant leader. A servant leader is a servant first, then a leader. Not a leader first, then a servant. Parents, when you put your children to bed, do you help your little ones say their prayers? While you may not think that you're being a leader, this is exactly what you're doing. Parents are leading their children to follow God by their own examples. Christ-centered servant leaders are compassionate in their service to God, and that attitude is what we need to project to others as we fulfill the mission that is set before us. So far, we looked at the mission that is set before us, our attitude of also being a servant leader in Christ. But there's something more, something else that we need for the work ahead. On September 11th, the whole world witnessed a very terrible act of terrorism. Now the world looks to a geopolitical solution for peace for the world. The nations are preparing for war, as some nations are already at war. It is wrong for us to look at the current events and not realize the cause of this is that Satan is behind these acts of terror. Satan is the author of terrorism when he tried to take over the very throne of God with one-third of the angels. Satan's goal is to overtake God and be worshipped. Now we read of that in the scriptures when Satan tempted Jesus, when Satan offered all the kingdoms of this world only if Jesus would fall down and worship Satan. While this world is preparing for physical warfare, we, God's people, are involved in spiritual warfare. In the urgency of these times, God is calling us for these times. In doing so, we must put on the whole armor of God so we can send a message of hope to the world. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians 6, and we'll read the encouraging words that God has given to us. In Ephesians 6, we'll start with verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, that is, the schemings of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done it, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you were able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So, brethren, we are offered the armor of God in this spiritual battle against Satan. And I don't care if you can quote the Bible backwards, for knowledge is of no use unless we put it to practice. In the next 4 months, all of us will have the opportunity, as individuals, as a congregation, to participate in the mission that's set before us. There's three ways which we can help. The first one is that in our local Good News distribution program and media effort, the coordinator, Mr. Carl R. Anderson, will soon be kicking up that effort a notch. Volunteers are desperately needed in this effort to preach the gospel in our community. The second way we can help is that the local church servant leadership committee, led by the coordinator, Mr. Dan Reisdorf, will in the next month or so present to the church 7 foundation ways of thinking to servant leadership to aid us. The third way that we can assist is that I believe in sometime in January of 2003, the local church will invite all those who are on the Good News mailing list to attend in from the Puget Sound area a Bible study and be invited to services here. In closing, I want to say that add that I saw a TV program before I went to the feast. There was a segment in this video about the humanitarian organization that had gone to Afghanistan after the fall of the Taliban government. And here I saw civilians, that is men, women, and children, in a hospital room. All of them had stepped on a mine. Either they had lost a foot, a leg, or arms that were blown off. Brethren, this society in which we live is actually a minefield that has been laid by Satan. Adultery, addictions, lies, murder, fornication, corporate greed, and much, much more have injured those who have stepped on those minds of Satan. In these difficult times, it's important to choose to become a part of the work of God, proclaiming the kingdom of God as the only lasting solution to humanity's problems. The choice is yours, to accept the mission that's set before us, that is preaching the gospel, preparing the people, as we become servant leaders of Christ, who have the protection of the armor of God.